And I'd like to explain that, you know, these flow rates, this hydrologic conductivity, for a landfill siting, you should be passing low digits. You should be in the 3, 4, 5, 6 feet of water transfer in a test well per 24-hour period. We got wells here that are 39. There was an 87-foot hydrologic conductivity in those test wells on that little site. So what the DNR is saying is, you're in karst country here where you got such variable flow, you need to go and do more test bores. You need to go spend a lot more money, because it is apparent that with this much variation from 5 feet here to 87 feet over there, that we got karstic voids. So the DNR is really taking issue with this, and that's what's back in the county's county's court now. And the last meeting they had, it was an engineering hydrologist arguing with the DNR hydrologist. But this is data points. The DNR is saying you don't have enough data to support your conclusions.
I'm just curious why so many on the county board want this to go through. I don't really understand. What is the push?
It seems to be an emotional thing, and I understand, again, like that, we should be responsible for our own waste. I understand the sentiment, but it's to do so responsibly. So it's a really highly emotional thing for them. And the common reply is that the mattresses will end up in the ditch, and yet most communities in North America have got these restrictions, and they don't have mattresses in the ditch. So it's a very emotional issue, and there's also a conspiracy of large corporations. When GFL bought Southwest, and Bill Meeks, the owner of Southwest, is not well liked by the county board. I mean, a lot of it's personal vindiction over Bill Meeks, and they'll actually admit that to you privately. But there's conspiracy about large corporations. It's ours. We should, it's hard to understand, tell you the truth.
Yeah, can I add one thing? Again, they talk about local control. We like our landfill because it's local control. And all the people who say that are representatives from outside Viroqua Township. The town board of Viroqua Township unanimously voted against it. And so where's the local control? Where is it?
Well, it is our county. And it is our control of the local county. I just you talked about the county board being emotional, but it certainly sounds pretty emotional here tonight. Mm-hmm. The county board is supporting this because the towns would be spending, and villages and cities, tremendous more money if we go to a private enterprise. And, I find it curious that people who've been in big business here are criticizing this government-operated service to the people. You know, it says, we're, quote, losing money. Applying to a government service. So when is the last time the roads made money? When's the last time the fire department made money? When's the last time our police made money? They don't. They're cost to do so. But I will guarantee you that if we get rid of our public landfill, our costs will go way up. It's going to cost us way more. Mr. Meeks, the new company was Southwest Sanitation, said he'd be glad to take over the recycling business, that the recycling function that the landfill now serves all of us without cost for $125,000 a year. That's just a beginning. We see, and they're going to haul all of our garbage to Eau Claire. So how many tons of diesel fuel are we going to expend putting carbons into our atmosphere to haul our garbage away? Now, I agree it should be safe, but, to just say we can't do it It's shut it down. It's too small. We need. Let's get private enterprise in here. They'll make money on it. Yeah, you bet they will, and they'll make it on our backs.
90% of the permitted airspace in landfills in the state of Wisconsin is privately operated. We are a standalone thinking we can do this as a small municipality. It's not about making money. It's about, like Kelvin said, it's about, are we passing on to our children water that can't be drunk? And if your dollars are more important than the health of the community, I don't go with that.
I appreciate his theories, but I think they're only theories.
There are costs when the water is contaminated. The county will be liable to provide clean water for people to cook and drink with because they brought it on themselves. How much is that going to cost?
That's what they're doing in French Island right now. French Island is what they're doing right now.
Thank you both very much. I think you made a very good, compelling case why we don't want this expansion here. I found, though, when opposing things, you sort of have to provide at least some sense of what the options are. And it's beyond the scope totally of this group. But and certainly any choice, sending stuff up to Eau Claire or anywhere else, there are people, there are liabilities associated with that. I'm not a waste person, I'm an energy person, but whenever people talk about, well, what are the alternatives to global climate change, say, I don't try and argue saying wind is the choice or solar is the choice or natural gas, because they all have liabilities. Where an essential part of both, in both cases, is the reduction of the demand.
Yeah.
And when I first moved to Viroqua, you paid $3 and you got a yellow bag. Wasn't a very big yellow bag. You put all your waste in there and you put it out on the street and they picked it up. And so you didn't put your cans and bottles in there or your cardboard or your paper. You put that in the free recycling bin. And why we do not go to that, I mean, I see these garbage bins on the street tonight piled high with all kinds of stuff, and you never saw that 10 years ago. You'd see one bag, maybe two bags out in front, and people were much more conscious. Somebody raised the issue, or you did, of well, they say they're going to dump stuff in the ditches. Well, Arlo Guthrie gave a real good answer to that problem. You open up, you look at what's there, you find out who it is, and you make them pay for it. Thank you.
I think, you know, if you look at the European model, limiting the amount of waste is our responsibility. There's no doubt about it. But what the contemporary model in the solid waste industry is spoke and hub. It's transfer stations that separate and compact and transport to regional landfills. George, it would be a total for Vernon County, one semi-truck of waste is generated per day in the total of Vernon County. That's one semi-truck going to a site that isn't on karst, that doesn't risk the pollution of our groundwater for generations to come. So that's the alternative. It's to use what the entire industry and all of North America is based on. It's the spoke and hub transfer station model. We can build our own transfer station at the dump. We have a big uncommitted building there, and the county could take it on and make their own transfer station. GFL Southwest has got a transfer station that's already up and running. But that's what the industry has gone to. We are bucking all trends here as we try to maintain the state's smallest municipal landfill. It's the smallest because they have no economies of scale and they're going broke all over the state. That's an absolute fact. It's not opinion, George.
The idea of separating organic waste is an excellent one, because organic waste, you can compost and you can grow food with it. That's excellent. I agree totally. But there's one problem that's happened along the way. It used to be, in the old days, your milk would be delivered in bottles, in quart bottles, and then the milkman would take away the empty bottles, and they'd reuse them. In the Philippines, it's still true that your beer bottles are collected and go back to the brewery, and they clean them and they refill them again. In Chicago, we went once to a place where their idea of recycling glass is to smash it, melt it down, and make new bottles. Which, if you're talking about energy, it's frankly stupid. And those things could happen again.
All right, is it on now? Yeah. So to speak to what George said, I've been asking about, because it seemed, let me back up. It seems to me that a whole step in this decision-making process by the county was missed. When the county knew that it was getting to the time where we have to think about the future, the landfills filling up, they didn't ask or do a comparative feasibility study of a number of alternatives. They went right to hundreds of thousands of dollars of an engineering study, which it's not a risk analysis. There is no risk analysis in that study. I have been perusing it, searching on various terms. I've read the first 150 pages, and I scan for various things. There is no risk analysis of groundwater contamination. Basically, it says in multiple places that there is no evidence on the existing landfill of groundwater contamination. Well, as Kelvin said, the monitoring system is a deficient one. It does not, even on non-karst, it's not an adequate system. I just today found an excellent article called The Deficiencies of Subtitle D Landfill Monitoring. It does not monitor to catch groundwater contamination early. It will only catch it when it's extreme. And groundwater contamination from these little leaks starts out with very small plumes, from what I've read, and becomes larger and larger over time, or if there's on karst, some instability event. But the subtitle D is insufficient, and it's being held up as, oh, the government says this is what we need, and therefore we don't need to look any further. And I would challenge that local control, good local control, would say we need to go beyond these general inadequate standards and do the very best to protect our very precious water resource. And I have been asking about what are these costs that you mentioned, George, about how it will cost us so much more. As far as I can tell, there's not been any real analysis. And for those of us where GFL is picking up and taking our garbage to Eau Claire for the last month and a half, we're not seeing any increase in cost. So I want to see numbers. People can say whatever they want, but I want to see numbers.
I would like to see the data, George. Can you send us the data?
I did my own Google search. You can do yours.
George.
Well, I don't. I did this. I looked at this, and I looked at that information. I don't have it printed out and all that. I mean, you know, this is...
But KJ did some research, and she shared it with us, so could you?
Could you? I mean, what do you... I'm not... I think it's... Look, you know, this is rather one-sided. Obviously, I appreciate, you know, the fact that having taken a contrary view, I'm the one that is going to get attacked. Fine. But, you know, this is... There are lots of people who have the same education as Mr. Rodolfo who say these things are safe. So, I mean, I don't know that I can go out and cite these. I'm not going to spend that amount of time. You guys are obviously on an emotional trip here to stop this thing. But I think that the people of Vernon County realize how valuable this is to them. They do not believe it's as dangerous as you believe it is. And they do not support privatizing our waste disposal. Now, I agree. We should do way more to reduce waste. But unfortunately, this was pointed out, I remember, who said about the difference between 10, 20 years ago and now. I mean, as in the town of Whitestown, for example, we haven't had a great deal of increase in population. They're very small, but yet our waste amount keeps going up every year. We keep trying to encourage recycling. And by the way, the recycling we do is where we separate into glass and metal and paper and cardboard and plastic jugs, whereas you people in Viroqua are throwing it all in the same bin, and only about, I think it's 50, I don't know this number off the top of my head, 40 or 50% of that is all that you're saving. The rest of it is going into the landfill. Your recycling efforts are almost for naught.
George, every Saturday, Kathy and I go to the Viroqua Recycling Center. We have to separate our paper, we have to separate our cardboard, we have to separate our steel, this is Viroqua Township. I can't speak for the city.
Order of 50 to 60% of that goes into the landfill. Again, I don't have that particular number in front of me, but it's a large percentage of the recycling goes into whatever landfill they put it into.
Well, talk to the city of Viroqua. The city, the township of Viroqua does a good job. We do. But we can't answer for the city. But maybe the city should be scolded about that.
The whole county to mingled co-cycling, recycling. That's going to result in more waste going into the landfills, less being recycled.
Well, the actual studies by the same engineering firm that's done the feasibility study for Vernon County has done studies that show that co-mingled increases participation in recycling. And that single stream, which is what the county wants to continue, actually does not encourage recycling. So it and the recovery issues are better handled in regional facilities than in ours. But you know it is the case. There's more participation when the stream is commingled. And that's why all over the nation it's going commingled. I mean, we're really bucking against all the trends here and having a municipal landfill and insisting on single stream.
Well, I don't, but maybe you can enlighten us.
You know, I agree with Tom that, and with everybody who says we need to be responsible for our waste, and Tom adds responsibly. And to me, from everything that I've learned from Kelvin and my own studies, on the internet of many, many documents from many countries that prohibit landfills on karst, and many countries are abolishing landfills altogether because of the massive groundwater and soil contamination that they cause. But as far as, so I asked the question to myself, what is this GFL company? First of all, I found out, how did GFL even come here? They came here as a result of an antitrust deal where Waste Management, the largest company in the world, wanted to buy the second largest company in the world, Advanced Disposal. But in order to satisfy the antitrust regulators, they had to sell off 60 assets, 40 of which were in Wisconsin. They sold 40 solid waste assets, landfills, transfer stations, and services in Wisconsin to GFL. So my assumption is GFL came into Wisconsin, and like most corporations of any size, they looked for how can we improve our economy of scale through acquisition. So they made Southwest an offer. So I went looking to see what issues there were. I did a Google Scholar legal search. I found a case that isn't really terribly relevant about, it was a fee dispute with an individual that was trying to make it a class action. It was not certified as a class action. It was not involving a lot of money. It didn't really, it wasn't what I was looking for. What I did find is a local approval of an expansion, I believe it's the Eau Claire landfill, where GFL and the county, the landfill has a board that includes the county, somebody from the county health department. It includes non-corporate people on its board, on this privately owned landfill. And that what they did to gain approval was they pay thousands of dollars a year to people within a certain vicinity of the landfill for nuisance. We're not talking groundwater contamination. We're talking the nuisance of the traffic and the smell. This is a very large landfill. And they also give an insurance on property value. So I'm not saying that they're a good company or a bad company, but that doesn't sound all bad to me. It sounds like they listened to concerns, and they have the capacity, because they're a large company, to financially mitigate some of those concerns. I couldn't find anything about groundwater on them. Now, I will continue to look, but that landfill is not on karst, which is not to say it's safe. It is safer groundwater contamination susceptibility-wise, probably by a significant amount than karst. From everything that I've learned, karst is absolutely the geology which is most vulnerable to groundwater contamination worldwide.
If you're going to send waste to the port, your liability goes with your waste. It doesn't disappear. So you should know the environmental history of the company that you're sending.
Well, yeah, and I'm still looking into that. The other thing is that the larger landfills, including the larger municipal landfills, all have gas, they capture the, what's it called, biogeneration. They capture the methane. We don't have that capacity.
I was just going to say the same thing. We don't capture methane, and we're not able to capture methane because it's not a large enough landfill. At Eau Claire and these other larger landfills that are most likely going to, the methane will be captured and won't be something that we may be able to create in
Can't hear.
So because we do not capture the methane at our landfill, it goes into the air and we breathe it? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it just adds to global warming. That's, okay. But it's too small to make it viable to capture that small.
It's, so our landfill is... Okay. So our landfill is too small to burn it off.
Better burn it off than send raw methane up, because methane is like 32 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. So if you burn it into CO2, you're actually doing you're mitigating a little bit. What can I say?
So I have a question about what do we do now, and how can people effectively speak before the county board? I mean, just attacking and getting mad and you know, arguing about things. I mean, what if I were to go there and speak for 4 minutes? You know, what would I do? Urge that they be more forthcoming to the public about this, or form some kind of committee. I don't even know if there is there a landfill committee or advisory committee to the board?
The infrastructure committee.
Okay. I mean, what do we as citizens do now to be effective?
Yeah, it was said earlier that the landfill's been approved. What's been approved so far was the feasibility money, and then that plan of development money, the last $300,000, which happened only 3 weeks before they got the letter from DNR that said put the brakes on. They okayed that $300,000 money. So it's not a done deal. When we were originally arguing against this, we were afraid that as soon as they started spending, I think so far they spent about $600,000 on this thing. They're gonna have to borrow several million dollars to proceed. So it's not yet a done deal. So those guys, and I, this is why there's 30 copies of this questions to ask your supervisor up here. That can guide those comments with the supervisor. But it's not a done deal, but only three of the 18 voted against the planet development money, that $300,000, but that was a forced vote. Prior to their receiving DNR's, we got seriously concerns. DNR is saying you can dig more boreholes, you can do this, that, and the other. We are very concerned about they're required by law to be confident in their monitoring, in their groundwater monitoring.
Just a minute,
you guys. They're going to want more and more information. I mean,
George, what they are.
We're the smallest landfill in the county. This is ridiculous. You know, it sounds to me like the people that keep promoting CAFOs. Oh, we can't have small farms anymore. You got to get bigger, get out. You got to have big concentrations of cows and manure to be successful. This is what the CAFO argument is. We can't support small farms anymore. They're not viable. We need bigness. This is what you guys are arguing for. We got to get big, and we got to get out of the small public held landfill.
Look.
Arguing against bigness.
My only argument is against expanding the landfill into what is demonstrably bad ground.
That's the point.
That's my... All these other arguments are beyond me. I'm just a geologist who knows damn well that my granddaughter and my great-granddaughter are going to be getting... It's happening already. It's happening already. Because that landfill has been there for over 30 years. And we're asking for wells nearby to be tested, and there's some reluctance about that. Dennis Braugh was supposed to be here. He lives fairly close to the landfill. He's suffering a rare cancer. He's convinced, and he may be wrong, that maybe it was because of the landfill. But we need to know whether, in fact, people are being affected negatively now because the landfill is already over age. Even if it were not on karstic terrain, the average is less than 30 years before the damn things fail. And let's find out now.
The landfill has been over budget on pumping leachate every year. Last year they pumped 2.2 million gallons of leachate out of that relatively small landfill. That's 2.2 million gallons that under a leaking scenario would be in the groundwater. It's an inordinate amount of leachate coming out of such a small landfill. Yeah, and they're carting it off someplace else because our own sewage treatment plant can't handle it. But the point, you know, I don't see how, even if it were to cost us a little bit more money, but if we protect our groundwater and those that follow us in this wonderful country here, a few more dollars is not going to be my biggest problem. It to me, this is a long-term issue that you cannot you can't equate to another $10 on your garbage bill.
I just want to go back to what you were saying at the very beginning, Tom, about how maybe money is easier to talk about than arguing about science, and maybe. Maybe the board can understand pocketbook issues more than arguing about science. And so I like that approach. It seems to work in other areas. But this, because it feels like the expansion is this get bigger thing. Like, oh, if we expand it, then we can take in more garbage and we can catch up on the money part. But it's like they'll never catch up is what they've shown us in the last 10 years. And so I'm just wondering, how can we call them on it? Like a timeout based on the fact that they seem to be wanting to charge ahead when they're so behind financially. I mean, it's just, where's the proof in the pudding of their model? It's not there of the on the financial business side of things.
Before they voted for the plan of development money, both the finance director at Vernon County Finance Director, Bobby Johnson, and the administrative coordinator in their comments said that the solid waste department needs to be audited. We need real numbers. We don't believe what's being presented to us. And our board chair stepped right over top of them. They did. They have not taken the advice of our finance director and our administrative coordinator. I talked to Dennis, and there are more than one county supervisor who's been forced off the county board based on their opposition to the landfill. And I was asked not to throw these guys under the bus, so I won't mention their names. But they have said to me, it seems that our board chair has decided that the landfill is a hill to die on. I don't think they're looking at this information. If you ignore your own finance director's recommendation to audit the books because you are committed to expansion, you're not doing due diligence. And it was supposed to be on the county board's agenda for this next coming meeting. It was supposed to be on the infrastructure committee that they were going to go over the finances. That got pulled off the agenda. In February 2nd, I was assured it was going to be on the agenda for the infrastructure committee. Lauren sets the agenda. He pulled it off. It's no longer up for discussion. And now for the county board meeting, which is on Thursday, it was supposed to be a mention, a review of the financial situation. Instead, they've taken the finance director's review of the finances off and are giving audience to SEH and people like Gail Free. They've just taken it off. He's burying it. He would not. You mentioned, George, the commingled versus single stream. Well, there was a proposal. They have budgeted in Vernon County $300,000 to run the recycling program for 24. GFL offered to run the same program for $125,000 for the whole county, and it did not make it to discussion because it threw shade on landfill expansion. So there's a serious amount of curtailing discussion of relevant things because of three out of five of the committee members voted against taking it to the board for the plan of development. And they had 3 hours worth of discussion. Everybody got so worn out that he took it to the whole board and did not accept the vote of the committee. So
is that maybe something tangible that we as citizens could demand is an audit of our landfill business to better understand whether we're really capable of managing something bigger than what we already can't manage?
Yeah, she asked for going back for the last 5 years and going forward into the projections for the expansion. I was at the meeting. Yeah, no, but not of the solid waste department in particular. Yeah, yeah. The Bobby requested, and so did Cassie, that audit, and it was stepped over.
Hello, my name is Mike Donsky. I was the first person hired by Gail Free to haul leachate. I had a company that hauled leachate for Vernon County, and I hauled it from Monroe County to Sparta. Good experience, no problems. What I really wanted to talk about is, really, you guys are doing a good thing here, but I think you're 40 years too late. Because before the early 1988, I think is when they started putting the liners in all the landfills. Before that, you would be really justified of what you're doing. I get that. But now, they're relatively not 100% safe. They're not 100% safe. We get that. But they're really, really safe. They really are. I believe they are. I've had a lot of experience hauling that leachate, so I kind of know what's going on there. And she addressed a little while ago that she's with GFL and she hasn't seen her prices go up dramatically. That's because you got a landfill here that's open. Once that landfill's closed, you're going to see a spike in it. And I'll come back here someday and you can tell me if I'm wrong. But I believe you're going to see a spike in the cost. Another thing that nobody's talked about is this county is very poor income. Nobody's addressing what that's going to affect the low-income people. I think that's just as important as the money thing here you're talking about. So I think you should talk about that. What's that going to do to poor people? There's a lot of poor people in this county. So I think that's somewhat should be talked about down the road here. But I think that's relatively safe up there. I think it's safe down the road. EPA they're right on that stuff. So I get the 30-year thing. I've looked it up. It is 30 years, they say, but they're not 100% sure. So I'm just saying it's just try to keep it smaller because you're just creating a Walmart is what you're doing. You know, you're just going to create a Walmart, and it's called GFL. So that's my opinion.
If you give me your email, I'll send you a bunch of stuff about the rate with which landfills fail. There's a whole literature out there. They're failing at the rate of an average of 27.3 years, not on Carsterane. And that's that. Those are the facts.
I'm not going to.
Maybe they're alternate facts, but they're the facts.
Yeah, I can't verify any of that you're saying, but I'm just saying that these landfills are very well protected with these liners and clay, and I think you're worrying about a lot of things that you really don't need to.
I'm sorry, but I studied this stuff, and I'm offering you my sources, and you're not interested in looking at them because you made up your mind.
Well, I've operated and I worked there, so that's just the way it is, but I'm fine. You can say what you want, but I'm just saying I back what they're trying to do. Thank you.
If it costs more, maybe we'll be more mindful about what we're throwing in the garbage bin. I mean, I really like what Tom said earlier about the yellow bags we used to get. Now we get these huge dumpsters. My neighbor and I, we share one, and we can't even fill it up. And we're both paying full price, but we still share one tote. I mean, it's just crazy. It's like they want more almost. It's like built into it somehow to... More instead of an incentive. If it costs more, maybe we'll waste less.
Off in between. There you go.
Okay, now I'm going to sing to you. No. I'm in for the town of Forest, and I've spent a lot of time writing little notices to people, and the education level around recycling really picked up. The guys were very grateful. Some people just absolutely refused to understand. But my question has been all along, why are we not working to educate one another? Because this battle that's going on, really think about it. Do we really want to have this battle? Because we want to save the water. I'm 100% there, 100% there. But if we could undercut it, you know, somebody told me a long time ago, if you want to change the course of a river, what do? And our minds, Western mind, says, being a big trucks, bring bricks, dig it up, change the course of the river, right? Most of you would go there, right? The person was native person, and they said, go to the source where the water's bubbling up, where the water's trickling down, and put your finger there. And that's how you change the course of the river. We're looking at these big, massive things when what we need to do is talk to our neighbor and say, do you realize that this plastic you keep buying from China or wherever, the plastic bottles that we insist on drinking from, this basic education is what's needed. We need to be human beings to one another. And then we don't have to have these big battles. That's my opinion. I'm not interested. I don't need another battle. But education, helping one another understand, that's where I want the board to go. That's what I want them to do. that hasn't been tried. It just hasn't been tried. Victory Gardens, when there was a war, people needed food, everybody do Victory Gardens. We're in a battle. We are in a battle to save the environment. And if you don't think so, you're wasting your time sitting here. But we're not going to win it by having more wars. We're only going to win it if we educate one another. Sorry.
You know, I just have a short comment about that, which perhaps is, I think that Calvin and Tom have been trying to educate our board, and doesn't seem to me like it's made much impact. Is there a last?
I have one question. Where do you think our voices will make more impact, at this infrastructure committee meeting or at the county board meeting?
Well, they took the landfill discussion off of the infrastructure meeting. I think that's an intentional. Even though I was told it was going to be there, they pulled it off. And so, at the we can make comments to the board. I think the board just got to know that. So it's to our supervisors at this point, mm-hmm. and anybody who's to the south and west of the landfill has got their water in jeopardy, and it's those supervisors that need to be talked to.
One thing. Is this on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to your own supervisor. They've not been hearing from people, and. I don't want to disparage them lightly, but I don't think any of them read that 2,400-page feasibility study. there's also, yes, but I did. there's an election in April. The candidates are already set. I mean, the ballot is fixed, but we can each find out only three supervisors voted against the landfill. So find out about yours and talk. I mean, just talk. I mean, we need to know what people are thinking about. Right. And if there's an opponent that seems to have a better position to you, support that opponent.
And there are some guidelines here for questions. There were some copies there.
And there is information on the table out here if you don't know who your supervisor is.
Hi, thanks. I have some comments real quick. The three supervisors who voted against the expansion, I haven't seen their names, and I thought that was kind of surprising. Is it a roll call vote?
Martha Olson, the woman who has a hyphenated Mary hyphenated name. and Kyle.
Okay, here. Say those
no,
names.
No, I'm not good with that. Martha Olson, the gal with the hyphenated name.
Mary,
somebody, and
Kyle Simke. Okay.
Martha, Mary, and Kyle.
Yeah.
Voted against it.
Yeah.
There are two Marys.
Yeah. Oh. But the Mary with the hyphenated name is the one that voted against it.
Yeah, Mary, who's on the infrastructure committee, is the one that voted against it.
Okay, well, thank you, and it's helpful information, I think, to know if your own supervisor is already believes the way you want them to. You still can tell them that you're thankful that they voted the way you wanted to. So I want to say that I have been thinking about our waste problem since I was waist high, and the more I hear about it, the more I think about it, the more complicated I think it is. I think that there are a lot of, I wish that people, you know, consumed less or demanded of our that our economy used less packaging, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. That people were better at recycling and all that. I think that there are problems with shutting down our the expansion of our with shutting down our landfill. Problems that there are services that are currently offered there now that will not be offered if it's shut down. Services such as taking in our appliances and our mattresses and our the hazardous waste. And those are problems that need to be solved and will need to be solved. And I think that they're separate. You know, it may be shutting down our landfill will cause some problems that we need to solve, but not shutting it down sounds like, from an expert, someone who has studied more than just our landfill. I really appreciate the gentleman who drove our waste out of here, and having, you know, his eyes and nose in it is valuable information. But someone who has studied hundreds or thousands of landfills has a different perspective that is also valuable. And I think that the idea that shutting it down is going to cause problems, like, what are we going to do with our paint? What are we going to do with our mattresses and our refrigerators? What is it going to do to the expense of our poor people as our trash is going to get more expensive to move? You know, those are problems, and those can and will be solved. But right now, living in the city, I pay per 100 gallons of water. I pay like $75, I think, for 300 gallons of water, something like that. I don't know, is it 20 cents a gallon? Something like that? I don't know. If I go to Quick Trip, I can buy a quart of water in a plastic bottle for $2, maybe a dollar, I don't know, I don't do it very much. But, and I don't know what the cost of having a well is. I've never lived on a well. But if we can't drink our water, our costs are going to go up regardless. And our costs for buying water and our costs for our health care is going to go up. So I think it's worth accepting that it's going to cause more problems that are going to need to be solved. It's not a one answer, but I think that you know, I hate the idea of giving our trash to someone to send it far away. Like, I felt shame about hearing about the United States, how much we're sending our trash to, you know, back, it used to be New Jersey, it used to be China, whatever. You know, I think that's it. That feels shameful to me that we aren't taking care of our own trash. But if having our trash here is an irresponsible thing, maybe we should do that. There we go. There was something else I forgot, but that was enough.
Well, thanks, folks. I think we're about done. Eh?
So as far as the path forward, there's a meeting tomorrow and Thursday. You can go and make comments to the board. You can talk to your own supervisor. Ask them what it would take to, you know, bring a revote. And, you know, call, you know, I believe, because I asked Alice Ann, you know, what could we do? And she said, well, somebody would have to call for a revote. And then we'd have to hopefully do it when there might be enough people on board that it would pass. So that's a narrow path forward. And but that's one avenue. On the topic of what I was saying?
Yeah.
Okay, can we do KJ and then?
You can also ask your
representatives, your supervisors, to think about other solutions, to think about what if we had a model recycling facility that included a restore for construction materials. You know, we have the infrastructure of the buildings on the landfill site. You know, there are a number of possibilities, and if we ask them to start using their imagination to solve some of these problems, maybe they'll start thinking about it. I don't see in the minutes that that's been being done.
We can propose such ideas to them.
So there's a lot of information. I've been going to solid waste meetings since 2002, and I've watched the whole evolution of all of this. And if you want to watch the actual meetings, I've recorded live stream most of them. So if you go to Facebook, go to the videos tab, and then on the live tab on Vernon Reporter Facebook page or Vernon Reporter YouTube channel, and if you search for infrastructure or any of the committee names, just put that in the search, it'll pull up the meeting for that committee. So if you're a glutton for punishment and you want to watch 3 hours of people talking about boring things, but there's a lot of information, it's very nuanced, it's a lot to take in, but that might help, I think.
Thank you for doing that.
Vernon Reporter, thanks, Tim. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And thanks to our presenters. And check out the boards on your way out. There's, you know, if you want more information about Driftless Co-option for ordering food, Viroqua Plastic Free, Driftless Green Burial, if you want information about that, and something else. Just put your names down.